Well, again, Remnant, good evening, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this March 2nd, 3-2-23. How about that? There's some numbers for you. Anyway, good evening. Welcome to the Radio Ranch. Again, a live program this March 2nd, 2023, and beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. A little blustery, but nothing too bad at all. And we're thankful for that. And hope you've had a blessed day. Had a real good prayer meeting last night, I thought. Had some good updates and good praise reports. And we're sure thankful for that. We are. Well, going to open up in prayer. We always encourage you to do that. Hoping to talk a little bit tonight about choices. Might get to, might not, I don't know, but you know, we have a choice when we before we do anything. We have a choice whether we're going to pray or not. We can pray, we don't have to. We don't have to. God gives you that choice. No, you know, we're not like a Labrador retriever. You know, if you've got a Labrador retriever or just about any dog, and you go down to the river or a pond, you know, the instinct of that dog, you know what he's going to do. He's going to jump in the river. He can't help it. There's no choice in the matter. His instincts kick in, and it's just that's what a dog does. It's as simple as that. But, you know, we're different. We're not dogs, as much as the world wants you to think that. As much as the world pushes the dog lust that they call love, but it's just dog lust. As much as they push that on our children and in society today, we have a choice. We have a choice. And we need to make good choices. It's as simple as that. I choose to pray. I hope you join me. It's a good choice if you choose to do that. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. I praise you for this day of life you've given, Lord, this day to work here at the office, and this day that the sun was shining, that there was rain falling in places, and Lord, that this day that you gave us to to rejoice, to praise you, to love our family, to get through this day. Lord, with the air that you give us to breathe and the gravity that you have made, Lord, that keeps us from just floating off into space. We thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that you are in control. Lord, it's a mess out there right now. It really is. And Father, we realize from reading your word that it's our fault. It's our fault, Lord, your people, because we've sinned. We've turned away from you. We've neglected you. Forgive us, Lord, forgive us. Father, I pray for an encouraging broadcast tonight. I thank you for the opportunity to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone, Lord, to encourage your people to read your word, Lord, to fellowship with you and with the remnant, and to be encouraged. And I thank you for that, Lord. Help us to tend the sheep. Help us to tend your sheep, Lord. We love you. As you asked the apostle if he loved you, and he said, yes, Lord, and you told him to tend, to feed the sheep. So, Lord, help us to do that here at this ministry. Help me to do that tonight, Lord, as unworthy as I am. But, Lord, I'm worthy in you, and I can do all things in you, Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. So help me do that tonight, Lord. I do pray for the remnant. I pray, Lord, for your strength and protection to be upon them, for your encouragement and your, well, a good attitude from you, Lord, to be around them and to drive and to be part of their life, Lord, an attitude of gratitude, Father. Thankful for all the blessings and thankful for the mess that this nation is in, because it just proves your word true, Lord. Guide and direct me. Let all that I do glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. And Remnant, the phone lines are open. It is a live program tonight. Now, we replay this later, so the phone lines won't work then. But tonight, they're live. They're working. 307-745-5913, if you want to give a call. And as I said in my prayer, you know, America's in a mess. It's just as simple as that. You know, the conspiracy theories, you know, they were running about 6 months. We're going to have to come up with some new ones, because that's down to about 3 months now. And, you know, whether it's on the COVID, where that came from, or the ineffectiveness of the masks, or the dangers of the vaccines, or that China was behind it. Oh, there's just more and more and more. Oh, you conspiracy theorists, you're crazy, blah, blah. That's what we've heard the last couple of years. But, oh, dang, lo and behold, it comes out, you know, on page 37 in real small print of the newspaper. Yeah, we think COVID came from China and the masks didn't do any good and blah, 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 blah. And it continues on. And, you know, the nation's in a mess, and everyone knows it. Everyone knows it. I saw a recent Gallup poll, and sometimes they're pretty interesting, but a recent, just last year, Gallup poll showed that only 17% of Americans are satisfied with the direction that America's headed. 17%. That's less than 25%, less than a quarter are satisfied with the direction. That means that 83% are dissatisfied with the direction that the country's headed. You think? Now, Remnant, it's up to me and you to be there to help point this 83% back to God, to be able to help them out of this mess. You know, the highest inflation in 40 years, it hasn't backed off any. Not a bit. Crime continues to grow and rise in every area of the country, in every aspect, from murder to carjackings to robbery, and it just gets worse every day. We see that. It's like reading back when the prophets of old, whether it was Nehemiah or Isaiah or Jeremiah or whoever, was warning the people and telling them, hey, this is what's going to happen if you continue to turn away from God. And we're seeing the exact same thing in our lives. The national debt that we have, an ever-increasing, over $31 trillion, growing daily. And that, you know, part of that is well over at least $1 trillion owed to China. Think about that. That's a big debt to these antichrist communists that are doing all they can to buy all the land they can here in this country. You got some governors, like there in South Dakota, that are passing laws that say, no, you can't do that. They're trying to down in Texas. But boy, that money, whoo, that money looks good to a lot of people. You know, we may have run away from Afghanistan last year, but our entanglements that we have been warned about, yes, we know, we remember Washington's warning about those foreign entanglements, but we've got them. And our involvements in the growing foreign war in the Ukraine is just set to explode. We've recently quadrupled our military presence in Taiwan. Quadrupled. Not doubled, not tripled, four times. Quadrupled it. And how long will it be until our sons and our daughters are drafted to fight in this racket that modern day war is? How long? How long? And you know, if you don't think that war is a racket, we have a speech by Smedley Butler, back given in, I think, 1933. 1933. A speech delivered by retired U.S. Major General Smedley Butler, retired from the U.S. Marine Corps. And it's entitled, War is a Racket. War is a racket. And if you don't understand that, if you don't believe that war is a racket, well, we've got this book. We'd be glad to send it to you. We ask for a $5 donation for it. We've reprinted it. We've got a lot of work in it. We do. But it's a book you need to have. It's an understanding that you need to have. It is. Okay? So, well, again, Remnant, phone lines are open tonight, 307-745-5913, and be glad to take your call. Yeah, America's a mess. Our morality, or really more accurately, the lack of morality in the land today, in this once Christian nation, has all but disappeared in our society today. You know, it just seems like today it's anything goes, from cross-dressing homosexuals, teaching and brainwashing our children, and using, being paid for by tax dollars to do it, to criminals' rights being much more important than ours. Politicians fighting to take our means of doing all they can to take our means of defending ourselves away. I mean, we're living those country western songs. You know, they slap the drug dealers and the killers. They just slap them on the wrist. That's the same thing. That's just what happened there at Michigan State University last month. That black man that went in and killed, what, three? Shot four or five more, injured five, and shot, killed three or something like that. He'd been arrested just in 2019 for fixing to do the exact same thing. He had been under, he was known having mental problems. He was caught with a concealed weapon, unlicensed, unregistered, and on his way to cause harm and ill intent. On his way. And they just, you just don't do that no more now. Now, if me or you were caught like that, we wouldn't get just a slap on the wrist. And so what does he do? Well, it's just a couple short years later, he carries out his deed, his evil deed. And what do they scream? Oh, we got to take your guns away. Nobody needs a gun. You don't need a gun. Well, let me tell you, there's no anybody that wants to take your gun away is not your friend. Don't forget that, right? I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is. My word, Jesus Christ, said sell your cloak and buy a sword if you have to. And when they said, look, Lord, here's two, and he said, that's good. I think he said, that's enough. Those are commands of from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just like when he says, love your neighbor. And we see our Constitution and our very way of life here in America just being wiped out and destroyed and replaced with this insane fantasy where good is called evil and evil is called good. You know, John Adams, I looked this up this past week, working on the newsletter and trying to get this in this Volume 2 Dragon Slayer newsletter, but it was John Adams that said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Well, guess what? When you have a people that are not moral and not religious, and by religious it's implied Christian, because that's what the founding fathers were. They were Christian. I don't care what your revisionist history says. You go back and read their writings, not just one quote, okay, but you read their writings and you look at their lifestyles and what they believed in and what they wrote and how they lived and what they did and didn't do. And that's what Adam said. Our Constitution was made for a moral and a Christian people. It's wholly inadequate to the government of any other. So guess what? We have any other today. Just like back in Exodus, right? We just read it not too long ago. Again, there arose a king in Egypt that knew not Joseph. See, there arose a king that was of the other that John Adams was talking about. Being that our Constitution is wholly inadequate to the government of any other than a moral and Christian people, well, guess what? We ain't got a moral and Christian people today. Certainly not in the leadership. But you know, most of it's in the people as well. Most of it is. They don't love God with all their heart, mind, and soul. If they didn't, they wouldn't lie, steal, cheat, and all that they do. And do we see a love for our neighbor? Love your neighbor as yourself, we're told. Do you see that in your neighborhood, in your town, in your city, at work, at school, at the grocery store? I don't. I see very little. Very little. Oh, you see little pinpricks of light every now and then. Oh, we see good deeds and things like that. You know, when you fall in love with your spouse and you get married, you know, you don't just do a good deed every now and then, right? No, you love that spouse. And you especially husbands, we do that, right? We protect. We do our best to protect our wives and to care for them and to provide for them. We don't just, once a month do a good deed for them. No, we love them. The Word tells us how we're to love them. And Jesus says, love your neighbors yourself. You know, what do you do for yourself? You make sure yourself is fed and clothed and have a vehicle to drive and a job. And, you know, we take care of ourselves. There's very few of us that don't take care of ourselves, that don't love ourselves. that don't want us to get the good deal, right? We're always on the lookout for a good deal. Whether you're looking to buy a set of tires or a firearm or some tools or whatever it may be. Always looking for a good deal, right? Well, you know, we're told to love our neighbor, to make sure that he gets the good deal also, and to balance that out. And I just don't see that anymore. I see when I look at this quote from John Adams, when he says the Constitution was made only for a moral and a Christian people. Well, that's why the Constitution doesn't stand anymore today. That's why they have infringed on our right to keep and bear arms. And that's why free speech has been infringed upon and is not guaranteed. And that's why that there are unlawful searches and seizures anymore. And that's why there is no three-way balance between what judicial and legislative and whatever the other one is, the branch of government. There's no distinction with those anymore, no checks and balances, because the Constitution's out the window, because we don't have a moral and Christian people that demand, that say, wait a minute, that Constitution comes from the law and the Word of God, and that's where we go back to. Nope. Not anymore. You know, we are doomed if we do not learn from our history. But you know, history has shown that man does not, we certainly don't learn from our history. And so we are doomed to repeat it. And you can look at true history in this Word of God. You can look all through the Old Testament and see the, well, take a look at, I'm wanting to start reading in Romans 2. But let's go back. Let's go way back, because we've just, you know, we're reading the Bible. Let's look at Leviticus 26. Blessings of obedience. Leviticus 26, verse 1 through 13, and starting in verse 14, penalties of disobedience. And there's 30 verses of those. Verse 3 says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to carry them out, then I shall give you rains in their season, so the land will yield its produce, and the trees of the field will bear their fruit. Indeed, your threshing will last you until grape gathering, and grape gathering will last until sowing time. You will thus eat your food to the full and live securely in your land. Let me read that again. God says, if you obey my law, you will live securely in your land. I'll grant peace in the land, he says, so you may lie down with no one making you tremble. I'll eliminate harmful beasts, and no sword will pass through your land. Harmful beasts that wield a sword. Imagine that. You will chase your enemies and they will fall before you by the sword. 5 of you will chase 100 and 100 of you will chase 10,000. Anyway, I encourage you to read it. Leviticus 26. That's why. And Remnant, points your, you know, we know about Deuteronomy 28. Right? The blessings and the curses. It's a repeat of Leviticus 26. It's a second witness that God says, because in verse 14 he says, but if you do not obey me, well, you know, that means keep my laws. I tell you what to do. I tell you what to eat, what not to do, what not to eat, how to live, how to treat, you know, what to accept, what not to accept. But if you don't obey me and don't carry out all these commandments, if instead you reject my statutes, and if your soul abhors my ordinances so as not to carry out all my commandments, and so break my covenant, I in turn will do this to you. I'll let you be alive in 2023 in America, and you can see what a mess you got. And that's right where we're at. Read it. Read it. He keeps going on. 7 times I'll punish you. That's where we're at. We have forgotten, Remnant, we have forgotten what our founding fathers told us just a few, 300 years ago? Not even. 250 years ago? And we have forgotten what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ told us as well. We have forgotten this instruction in Leviticus. Oh, the people poo-poo the Old Testament. Oh, that Old Testament. You got to get out of that Old Testament, buddy. We got Jesus today. We're under grace. You know, when John wrote, and Brother Zach's been doing a great job. I hope you've been tuning in for the Sunday church service. Brother Zach's brought a great message on faith this last Sunday. I think it's part one. And, you know, but he's adamant about reminding us who Jesus is, right? In John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, at the time John wrote that, what Word did he have written? What Word did he have to go and read and learn? What Word was it? It wasn't the letter to Colossians. It wasn't the Gospel of Mark. Those weren't written yet. That's not the Word. The Word he's talking about in the beginning was the Word. It was the Old Testament that John proclaims as Christ. Remnant, I know we know this, but we need to have it. I'm glad Brother Zach brings it up all the time. We need to have it drilled back into our heads because we need to make sure that we, you know, that we can have a rebuttal to these enemies and these lukewarm Christians that are out there that have believed the dirty birds in their pulpit when they've said, oh, we just have Jesus now. Love, love, love. Jesus is love. And he is. But if he is the Word says, hate evil, all you who love the Lord. Hate evil. Hate evil. Hate evil. And let me tell you something. Cross-dressing homosexuals coming in and teaching your children, that's evil, buddy. That's evil. And when you got people wanting to take your firearms away, take your guns away, that's evil. And we are to hate evil if we love the Lord. So don't hate evil. It just shows you don't love the Lord. It really is as simple as that. Matthew 22, 37 through 39, Jesus says, and he said to him, he was asked about what's the greatest commandments? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And you know, Jesus, you know, he talked about who's my neighbor, right? He talked about the Good Samaritan, and he talked about his friends. And he said, those that love me do what? If you love me, Jesus said, I don't have it here in my notes, but he said, if you love me, do what? Isn't that what he told Peter? Peter, do you love me? Yeah, tend my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, feed my sheep. And elsewhere he says, if you love me, do what I tell you to do. Obey my commandments. That's not just New Testament, folks. It's not. If you love me, says he who was in the beginning, who is the Word and became flesh and dwelt among us, do what I tell you to do. Obey my commandments. He says, further on, we read in the scriptures, that he says, it's my friends who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. You know, like it or not, believe it or not, the scriptures, the Word, the Bible, just like we looked at in Leviticus 26, I encourage you to look at that. Mark that down, Levi 26. Levi 26, you can remember that. And Deuteronomy 28, you can remember that one too. We've we've shared that enough with you, as well as many other places. They warn us of exactly what is happening in the land today. Why are we having train wrecks? Why are we having China balloons? Why are we having these problems? Well, look to the Word. Look to the Word. And that tells you why. Because we have turned. Romans 1. Let's take a look. Romans 1, a remnant. Phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. Romans 1, starting in verse 18, says, "For the wrath of God is revealed." The wrath of God, not the love of God. Oh, God loves you. Just raise your hand and say you're a sinner. God loves you. He does. He does love you when you repent. He loves you so much he sent his son to die for us, to redeem us. That's how much he loves us. But see, you can't, we got to remember love and hate. If you love God, you hate evil. And if you don't hate evil, it shows you don't love God. You love your spouse out there, husbands, you love your wives, you love your children. If you love them, wouldn't you hate anything coming against them? Anything wanting to harm them? Anything wanting to kill them? Or anything wanting to bring them away and turn them away from the blessings and the plan of God? Wouldn't you hate? We say that, man, I hate for that to happen. Because I love them. If you love God, you hate what's against God. David said, "Do I not hate those that hate you, O Lord?" And David was blessed. Oh, he wasn't perfect, but he had a heart for God. That's a heart for God. I hate those that hate you, God. I hate them. See, that's not the enemy we're to love that Jesus talks about. It's not. The Bible's not contradictory when it comes to that. But if all you do is love, 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 and you think that just God is love, there's a song I listen to, Caleb, when I'm traveling. I do. I don't, not all the time, but sometimes. But there's, something about nothing in the heart of God but love. And that song is just out of the pits of hell. It's a lie. It's a lie. The wrath of God, Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." The wrath of God. Not the love of God. It's not, doesn't say here, oh, the love of God. God loves those that just can't help but lie and just don't understand and they just got it mixed up. No, it's the wrath of God. The wrath of God. Verse 19 says, "Because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so they are without excuse." They are without excuse. See, this says all creation glorifies God. All creation points to God. Verse 21, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculation." And that's where so many are today, futile in their speculation. Well, we think, well, good for you. What the, Sam Hill, does that matter what you think? It's what the Word says. Nature itself, we talked about last night those two planets that were lining up. What was it, Venus and Jupiter? Those were created back before the beginning, in the beginning, when God spoke. And those planets were formed. And they were put in an orbit, however many years, eons ago it was. I don't know. You don't know either. You can guess, and I can guess. But we don't know. But when God spoke and put them into orbit, there was order. So that in 2023, on March 1st, those things would be right next to each other, at least the way we see them. How about that? All creation glorifies God. I see the phone ringing. Hey, good evening. Welcome to the 7x70.
Well, hi, Richard. This is Tim calling from Wisconsin. I'm enjoying your sermon. I saw it's a conjunction, the two planets close together.
Yeah.
At sunset.
Yes.
Somehow I think it's significant, and I also think it might be significant because we have an appointed day coming up in first day of spring.
Absolutely, we do. Yeah, the solar year is ending the 18th and 19th of this month. The spring equinox is March 20th. That's fast approaching. That's the start of the new year. That's day one. So yeah, it is. It's right here close. You know, so many people today, they think that if something doesn't happen just at the exact second, well, that you missed it. That's wrong. And it's just not that way. It's just not. But
I really do think that this conjunction is significant. I just have a feeling that it is. It's quite remarkable. It's that they're. I don't know if they're going to get any closer together than they are right now, but they're really close.
Yeah, they. I mean, they're millions of miles away, you know, from us and really from each other. It's just that our view of them, you know, their orbits, and it doesn't happen all the time. You know, it's just ever so often the way God has it set up that they do that. You know, and I mentioned last night, I saw them last week, and they were further apart, but you could notice it. I'd seen some comments being made, so I had looked, and it's like, yeah, that's those two planets. And boy, they do. You don't normally see them. I mean, we see the Big Dipper to the north here, and it's rotating around Polaris, the North Star. So we usually get, it's open and dark to the north from here at the Radio Ranch, so usually have a pretty good view of that. And different times in the evening and different times of the year, you know, that Big Dipper rotating around Polaris, rotating around the North Star. And so it's pretty neat to see, you know. I mean, I'm blessed to be out here, and there's just no, you know, no towns directly north of the ranch, and so it's pretty dark. And every now and then you can see the Little Dipper and, you know, some of the Orion's Belt and some of the things. So, yeah, it's really interesting to see that. And, you know, and Tim, I think it just points to the order of God, that God has things in order, that, you know, Ray Capp's got a book out, The Heavens, what is it, The Glory of the Stars. And they glorify God. And you know, for signs, I think it is. You know, the people won't believe signs, just like they didn't. You know, they asked Jesus for a sign. And he said, you know, they had seen what he had done. They had seen him heal. They had seen him heal the blind and the lame walk and that. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe the signs they'd already seen. And it's like that today. Tim, I think you're absolutely right. I think that, you know, the signs that we see this. We've got just, what, next year, we're anticipating another full solar eclipse all the way across the country from, what, South Texas to Maine or something like that. You know, with the shadow finishing out a big X right across the country. And I agree with you. I think they're significant signs.
Well, I've been listening to McCaney. I started listening to McCaney because he came on the Scriptures for America network, and I pretty much have listened to him every week. He speaks of the planet Venus actually being like very, very significant. It's in the history of the Earth, and it's And he also speaks to an electrical flow that happens when these planets are aligned with our planet, with the one that we're on. So, yeah. In many ways, when you see one of these conjunctions, they're very significant. And, even if it wasn't for the history, they're significant anyway because there's an electrical flow that actually occurs between the sun and the planets that and so forth when they're in alignment with each other.
It is, and I've seen headlines just this last week and the week before talking about that, about expect communication problems because there's another solar flare and solar activity and stuff like that. And I think that's how the, it's reported. But, it is. God, he doesn't, nothing is wasted. We always think sometimes, oh, what a coincidence, or how about that? The stars really aligned or whatever. But, God does things with a purpose. He's a God of order. And he does things on purpose and with a purpose. We just don't understand what they are. Whether it's realigning, like you're talking about, this electrical activity to where it, who knows, maybe that charges us up enough so we can rotate for another few years. Who knows? But God knows.
It does.
God knows.
It does supposedly have an effect on people. The electrical, when these planets are in alignment like that, and there is this flow of electricity between the planets, it does affect the people. At least that's what McCaney's been saying. And of course, I'm grateful to Scriptures for America Network because I had never really heard of McCaney until I listened to him on Scriptures for America Network.
Sure.
So, but I expect like there to be like some amazing things going on. And I think there already are, that people look at it, if the Lord wasn't, if Jesus wasn't, and it's, we would already been wiped out. The stuff they've been doing to us is legion. It's just awesome. What they've been able to accomplish.
Absolutely.
Mind-boggling.
It is. And we wonder why. Why are they able to? Why do they do that? And why are they able to? And I think that where I read here in Romans, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And that's just how it is. It is.
Yeah, just a little while ago you played and you play these scriptures and these tapes done by Peters and they're all very pertinent today. The word of God is evergreen, but it's they and us, and it's a different manner of people, like Esau, right, out of the same womb.
It is.
A different type of person.
It is.
And he thinks differently and acts differently, and so he's doing what he does, and this is the stuff that they're doing, with a thousand different things that they're doing to us, and yet we're still alive, and maybe some of us aren't even doing all that bad.
I agree.
And I think that's in and of itself is a sign that you almost have to understand the tremendous power of this beast and the mystery Babylon, and Satan, who's basically is the power source, I believe behind it. And they would have got us years ago. They would have wiped us off the face of the planet, but the Lord has preserved a remnant, and praise be.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me flip over Philippians. I wish I had it memorized, but I don't. But Philippians 1 and verse 27. starting here, it says, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I'll hear of you that you're standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." And that's what we are to be doing, right? Striving together. We don't all agree. We have our disagreements, but we're still to be striving together for the faith of the gospel. Verse 28, "In no way alarmed by your opponents." Now, you want to talk about an amazing miracle, a sign. And that's it right there. "In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God." And so, yeah, you know, it is a sign when true Christians are not in any way alarmed by our opponents. Whether those opponents be the IRS or the CCP in China or, the MI-13 gangs that are, you know, running all in. I had this headline. 128,000 migrants were caught on the southwest border in February. You know, but you know what? We're not to be alarmed by our opponents. Now, when it talks about these opponents, that's not the enemy that Jesus says, love your enemy. Two different groups here, remnant, okay? But yeah, that's a sign. It's a sign of destruction for them. So you want to destroy your opponent? You want to destroy your enemy? Your Goliath in your life? David destroyed Goliath. David didn't love that enemy. Oh no, David hated him with the utmost hatred, and he took him out. He cursed him, and he took him out. And we can do that. We're told to do that. And this is one of the ways, this is one of the signs of destruction for them. Don't think they don't know it. They know it. That
they want us to fear.
That's right.
Everything they got almost is like to make you afraid.
That's right. Everything is. But remnant, when you are in no way alarmed by your opponent, right? If God is for us, what can man? And when we have that scripture, if God be for us, what can man do to us? You know, when we have eternity secured.
If I could enter into something, the fear the one that don't fear the one that can kill the body.
That's right.
But fear the one that can kill both the body and the soul.
Yes.
And so yes, they've killed a lot of us over the years. So many of us that we couldn't count. But you know, if they do get us, they don't get us.
That's right.
What I mean? They're not going to.
That's right.
They're not going to. And the prophecy is, I think, against them right now. They're not going to continue to prosper. They're going around in circles now. You know, and they're chasing each other and other things and destroying each other. I can't help but think that they're short. You know, they're not going to be around much longer, and I'm grateful for it.
Amen. Amen. You know? Well, it is that way. I mean, everybody dies. You know, everybody dies.
Well, Jesus died, and so says the book of Revelation.
Right.
He says it's the book of Revelation.
And he overcame death, you know. But
he's alive now forevermore.
That's right.
He's alive.
And this same Romans 6 says that if we will join him in that death, we get to join him in the resurrection. And I'm running out of time here. I wanted one more verse here in Philippians 2:14. Right after this, you know, conduct yourself in a manner in no way alarmed. Verse 14 says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Because, see, that's just the opposite of the world. Because the world does it all, and they bitch and gripe about it all. Right? But we're told not to do that. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. And we have to do our best to do that. Verse 15, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. And you know, we are, you know, we, and when we see that, you see a good deed or you know, just recently there was a girls something basketball team or something, and they came a little Christian school, and they came to play another team, and that other team had some transgender on it, some boy claiming to be a girl, and the visiting girls team from the Christian school, they forfeited. They said, "We ain't playing that. We ain't doing that." You know, and that's obedience to the word. That's obedience to the word. I remember hearing about a high school wrestler that was like going to be the state champion, and was just like two matches away, and they put a girl up there in front of him to wrestle. And he said, "I ain't doing that," and he forfeited the state championship.
I heard that, and I thought, man, that's a man after my own heart.
It is. You know, there's godly parents that fear God, that are doing things without grumbling or disputing, that are proving themselves to be perfect, no, but blameless and innocent children of God, as the word says it is. Well, Tim, got to go, buddy. Yeah. Thank you for the call. Good talking to you.
Great. Bye.
Right. God bless. Good hearing from you, brother. Well, Remnant, we are running out of time. Thank you for joining us. I hope this was as encouraging to you as it was to me. It is encouraging to me to read the word, we realize we're in a mess. But you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 is still there. God's promise is still there. You know, when he even in John 3:16, when God says that he loved the world so much he gave his only begotten son, that those that believe in him should not perish. Doesn't say would, doesn't say are guaranteed that they're not just for believing in him, but they should not. Because when we believe in Christ, well, we should make choices that go along with that. If we love our God, we should do what he tells us to do, and we shouldn't do what he tells us not to do. Not for salvation, but because of salvation. Well, out of time. Come back Saturday morning. I hope you'll join us Saturday morning for coffee. I'd love to have a cup of coffee with you on Saturday morning, right here, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. on the West Coast. I know we got some West Coast listeners out there, so I hope you'll join us Saturday morning. We'll have some good hot coffee. We'll have our Bibles. We'll have the phone lines open, and we'd love to fellowship with you on Saturday morning during Coffee with the Wrangler. So I hope that you'll join us then. Thanks again for tuning in, and God bless.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.